It's hard to know where to begin after a week of shocking moments, one after the other. But it's also easy to know and see the joy and the gratitude of those who have just gone through utter devastation. And I believe today we have one or two things that we can look at. The doom and the gloom, or that God is for us, who can be against us? Obviously you didn't hear me, or you don't believe it. We can look at the doom and the gloom of what has taken place in our world. And I know that we have been infiltrated with CNN and with Fox News, and it's been everywhere. But we are dealing with the lives of people just like you and me. The lives of family members of these two and friends and their country. And we can face that with doom and gloom, or we can see what it is God is doing. And I believe with all of my heart, and I've told these two guys that are here today and many that were there last week in Haiti, I believe this could be the very best thing that ever happened to that country. I must trust that God is in control, that His ways are higher than my ways and His thoughts are higher than my thoughts, that He is a God who is in control and that He holds all things together, or I would not have been able to survive it myself. There were so many things from the very beginning. It was amazing that the earthquake hit, and then in 24 hours, basically, Claude and I were able to be on the ground there. God worked through that situation. Once we got on the ground, neither one were familiar with the Dominican Republic very much. Neither one of us spoke fluent Spanish. I spoke enough to get me in trouble, really. And when I'm telling the taxi driver to go all the way, when it was that night, and Claude at least knew enough to say, no, we don't want to go all the way tonight. So we got a bus ticket the next morning for a six-hour drive from Santo Domingo to Port-au-Prince, Haiti. We get about 2 hours from the border, and Claude has just got up in the bus to go to the restroom, which is, you know, all the way in the back as you're hopping up and down. And I'm sitting on the second row at the front, and all of a sudden this crazy noise, the CV joint basically broke on the bus, the front right tire, and we're going Haitian fast, and all I see is trees and debris, and the driver and everybody in the bus is screaming. So of course what you're not supposed to do is brace, and we all braced, but it was amazing how God just took that bus and shifted it right over there to the side, and not a soul was hurt. That was God. What the enemy knew is that two people from America would be able to make a difference. And two people with many, many more people who were there with us in spirit and were there with us in support and were there with us in prayer, we're going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. It's not that we can make that big of a difference in the chaos and in the trauma and in the pain. But He knew that we were going to make a difference, and He was doing everything He could to stop that. We get to the border, we had no other passage, we had no other way in. We had hooked up, Claude and I had hooked up with about six people from a North Carolina international relief agency that were a Baptist group as well, and became friends with them. And these businessmen from Haiti who now live in the Dominican Republic were sitting at the border. And they said, are y'all medical people? Are y'all going to work in the hospitals and stuff? And we said, yes, absolutely. That's what our plans are, is to work there all week long or do search and rescue, depending on what the needs are once we get in. They said, I've got three vehicles sitting right here. We'll take you into Port-au-Prince and get you wherever you need to go. Once again, it was God showing up and being Himself and making a way where literally, there was no other way for us to make passage. The scary part is we didn't even have to show our passports to cross the border. So not much homeland security there. But we were able to get in, and we got to the airport, and I said, Claude, do you think there is any possibility that there will be a rental car? And he said, probably not. And I said, yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I doubt there's any way for us to get a rental car, so how are we going to get to where we need to get to? Let's just go on to the airport. We don't have anywhere else to go. We may have to sleep there tonight. So we get in, and it's about 5 o'clock, and we go to the rental car agent, and he's the only one that is left at the airport in rental car. And we're like, yeah, this is going to be interesting. So Claude said, let me take care of it. I said, okay, you take care of it. So I'm staying outside. You go on. And so anyway, he went in and got us a rental car immediately. They took us over to pick it up, and we were able just to drive off and head to the mission. Another way that God opened doors. I was basically in Port-au-Prince due to the traffic that is just horrendous right now, because you've got so many relief agencies in there. The UN is in there as normal. You've got all of the American forces that are in there. It's crazy. You can't get around as it is. You've got 2 million people in an area that is supposed to house about 250,000 people. Plus, you've got utter devastation. No one is living in their homes, even if their homes are still sound, structurally sound, because you have aftershock after aftershock after aftershock. And neither you nor I would stay in our homes either if that was happening. I promise you, I was there with the 6.1 earthquake. They call it an aftershock. I call it an earthquake because I was there. And I really thought that I was dreaming. And it was, you know, early morning, and I'm like, is this really happening? And then it gets stronger and stronger. And so we're jumping up and running out, and I'm like, where's the nearest window? Because I'm jumping off of this second floor. We'll land somewhere. But the fears that are happening are the reality. There's much to be afraid of. Yet, in the midst of all of that, it's amazing the peace that God gives in the midst of these storms. And I could go on and tell you story after story after story about that. But this morning, I want to tell you and allow me to debrief with you and help me unwind a little bit what God taught me. I saw things that I never thought I would see with my eyes. Do you know that the reality of what has taken place in Haiti, the deaths that has taken place, is twice as many as Vietnam? Twice as many deaths, if not three times as many deaths as Vietnam. So it's tragedy as you look at the circumstances and as you see people who have been laying in the floor for 6 days without any medical attention, and infection has set up, and they're going to lose their leg, they're going to lose their arm, they could very likely lose their lives. In fact, they're saying that 33% of those who survived and have got immediate, and I use that term very loosely, immediate medical attention will still die because of the lack of the antibiotics and stuff that you need. When I showed up at the hospital the first day, you know, they begin to ask us what we do and this sort of thing. And I said, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'm not trained in any of it anymore. I enjoy doing, you know, first responder type emergency medical stuff. You tell me what you need me to do and we'll do it. And that first day we begin to triage patient after patient after patient. And you go into this hospital, and you don't go into rooms, you go into the open areas and the hallways, and you begin to step over patient after patient, and life after life of those who are all priority, top priority patients. And you begin to say, whoa, this is overwhelming. This is more than we can begin to work on with the people that we have here. And I go back to the OR and I see that we have lawyers from America who have scrubbed in to be OR nurses. Those of you who work in the medical field know that that would not work very well here. That's like taking Kim Reed Bracey over here and saying, Kim, scrub up and put on this suit and go in there and do what the doctor tells you to do. But you took anybody and everybody that you could at that point to assist. But the thing that God taught me in my life that I will never forget, and I pray that never weakens, is that we have a lot to be thankful for. And that God has called us and has commanded us to be grateful in all things. So if you would take your Bible and let's look just a few moments this morning at the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 16 through 18. And really, even though it's three verses here, it's one short, concise, straight to the point message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 16 through 18. And I pray that as we read this together this morning, that you would open up your hearts and your minds, your emotions, everything that you are, everything that God has created you to be, and say, speak to me today, Holy Spirit, speak. Paul says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, there's not much to dissect there, is there? It's pretty straightforward. In fact, I believe that Paul gives three marks of the Christian straightforward. Those three marks are, one, rejoice always. Does that mean even when you don't feel like rejoicing? Yes. Number two, pray without ceasing. Be in a constant spirit of prayer where you are in constant communication, in interaction, in intimacy with the God who created you. So that when He speaks, or when a circumstance may happen, He moves you to the point where He can use you for the glory of His kingdom. And number three, give thanks in all circumstances. And that's where we're going to camp out today, is being able to give thanks in all circumstances. Notice what he does not say. He doesn't say for all circumstances. He says in all circumstances. There's not much to be thankful for when you look at the circumstances that are surrounding the country of Haiti. But God says, in the midst of those circumstances, be thankful. Give thanks, for it is I that is in control of all things. Let me ask you a couple questions here. And I want you just to really examine your lives this morning and see where it is that you stand in this attitude of gratitude today. That regardless of where you are, what you are doing, how would God see your attitude and your thanksgiving, your thankfulness for what it is He is doing in and through your life? When was the last time, let's start with today, when you woke up this morning and the time you came to church, did you tell anyone that you were grateful for today? Did you begin to love on someone that was special to you, that God has placed in your life? Family, friends, church members? Have you had the opportunity? Yes. But what have you done with those opportunities today to say, God, I am so grateful. I am so grateful for these people that you have put in my life today. When was the last time that you've given thanks from the very depths of your heart for the people that God has placed in your life? That's family, friends, co-workers, those that are in school, your schoolmates, the people in the marketplace. When is the last time that you've given thanks for those people? When is the last time you've given thanks for those people who just rubbed you the wrong way? And you think, God, sometimes I don't understand that person, but I know that you're teaching me something through them, so therefore I'm giving you thanks for placing them in my life and for helping me to be stronger in my faith. Because without that, I would unleash on them. I mean, be honest. It's not the first thing that we think of is to give thanks for those people who are not very loving and compassionate and who minister to us and who do the things that we really need and want done, right? When is the last time that you've given thanks for the circumstances, whether good or bad, that you found yourself in? I found myself in a lot of tough circumstances and situations the last, 14, 15, 16 days. And Kim Reed Bracey has kind of been the sidekick in going through everything with the U.S. Embassy and getting these two guys here. And you need to see Bill Dad's impression of me standing before the U.S. military Marine with the machine gun, and Bill Dad is almost positive that I'm going to get shot for the way that I'm acting. And but being persistent, I'm sure he is grateful that he is still alive today, for sure. But the circumstances that we found ourselves in were not, you're saying, God, I know that you have called me to do this. There's no doubt about it. But it is sure not happening the way it should happen. Or at least the way I think it should happen. But now as we're able to look back, we can see God in every single one of those things and say, God, thank you for what you've taught me in this. I know I didn't pray for patience, but you are continuing to teach me patience. And you've put people in my life along the way that I would have never spoken to otherwise. And then you've made things happen so that when we're able to look back and see what has happened, it's God, and it's not Kim, and it's not Josh. It's for the glory of God. You know, it's hard to understand Paul's words here. Give thanks in all circumstances for some of you that are here today. Because this means that we have to give thanks when a person that has been recently divorced, or for the person who has miscarried a child that you're desperately wanting, or the person whose body is falling apart because of treatments to take care of something else, another problem in your body. It's complicated. It's tough for a person that feels like they're barely existing in this world in the first place. It's overwhelming for the person who is facing the financial obstacles and the difficulties in their lives. It's hopeless and helpless. It's tough for the person that is watching their child suffer in pain. What about the person who lives in a state or a cloud of overwhelming depression or loneliness? What about for the person who has stood at the grave of a loved one? Yet he still says, give thanks in all things. That is when it comes to the point where we must trust God and not the midst of our circumstances. First, God wants us to give thanks in the good times. Why? Because thanksgiving promotes God's glory and it develops humility in us. Did you get that? We give thanks in the good time because it brings glory to God and it teaches us to humble ourselves before Him. Sometimes it's easy in the good times just to just to go on about your business. And just to live life your way in the routines that we all get accustomed to going in. Living day to day. But yet still take little things for granted. I saw this past week. We had gotten done with a long day's work, and every day was just extremely long. And the traveling that normally before the earthquake took about 30, 45 minutes took us 2.5 hours. So it was like to get any work done at the hospital, you'd leave really early in the morning and just come home in the dark hours of the night, which they tell us in Haiti it's not safe for the white people to do, but I had a car full of Haitians that were determined to get me back wherever I needed to go. And so I thank God for them. Let me tell you, these guys and Sheila, they wouldn't let me hardly pick up a foot and put in front of the other, because they love me and they're cautious for me. And it's obvious by the way that they act that they're grateful for my presence there. And I am grateful for their presence, and to see their attitudes and the way that they act in the midst of devastation. To be honest, when I first saw Bildad, I saw a lot of fear on his face. But within 10 minutes or 15 minutes of talking with him, all of the conversation became to the glory of God. I give thanks because God has done this. Even though my sister is in the hospital and she lays in great pain, I give thanks for this. And it was one thing after another that spilled forth from their lives. Remember about 6 months ago, I told you that when we're in the squeeze of life, what's inside of us will come out. Or when you squeeze the worm, what's inside of that worm is going to come out. These people are in the squeeze of life. And what is truly inside of these men and women of God that I've worked with has come out. And it is grace. It is great compassion, not that they're worried about themselves, but that they're worried about other people that are coming, that are in their villages and family members and friends and for their country in general, and those of us who are coming from America to help. They're grateful and Jesus is just oozing out of them. I took them to eat one day after a long day of work in the hospital, and I said, guys, can we find anything that at this point is not rice and beans? I love your rice and beans. I love Haitian food, but I just need something else. Do we have pizza? And they said, yes, we got pizza. We're going to take you to a place. So Michael, you know, gets in and out and says, we think this place is still standing, because a lot of the places are gone. So, or even if they're there, a lot of them are not open because the banks were shut down. There's no way to get money and all of this infrastructure that is just a mess. And so we go and we sit down at this place and we order our food, and the food comes, and we're having a great time of fellowship and joking with each other when we should just be sobbing and crying. Yet God is in our midst, and we're building relationships, we're encouraging one another, even in the midst of we've seen God awful things that I would never wish for any of you to have to go through. Yet we're able to rejoice because God has used us. He's used these hands. He's used our mouths. He's used our spirit. He's used our smile to communicate in the midst of utter devastation. Do you understand? Utter devastation, chaos. And the thing that as people back home here watch on television is you can't smell what's going on. You smell death in the air. It's everywhere you go. That's why you see people wearing masks, because of the smell, and they'll take toothpaste and put it on their upper lip to try to camouflage it. And even when you go into the hospital and their people are living, you smell death because gangrene has already set in. And something that could be an easy ER fix here in America has become an amputation there because of the resources, the lack thereof, really. But we sit down to eat. And the guy said, let's pray. And Patrick is our pastor in the group, and he is just an evangelist. They're all evangelists wherever they go, but Patrick is just that spitfire pastor guy. And he says, you know, we need to pray for our food. And I said, okay, let's pray. And it's not, you know, thank you, Jesus, for the day, and thank you for our food, and God bless it, amen. You know, I mean, we're praying. You know, it ain't just hurry up so we can get to the food type prayer. Because they're hungry. Right, guys? There's a lot of hunger. There's a lot of thirst there. But they're not going to tell you that, for the most part, until it's dire need. So we thank God for our food, and we begin to eat and take part in that and fellowship and encourage one another. And then it's time, and I'm picking up trays, and we're putting stuff up. And the guys, several of them said, no, we need to pray for our food. I said, we did pray for our food. We're done with the food now. It's over. And they said, we know, but we need to thank God that he has given us, and we've been able to eat, and now we are full. And my face just dropped. And then I begin to think, when was the last time that I was really hungry? I mean, look at me. When was the last time that any of us in this room were really hungry? And it was all I could do to get my sunglasses on to get outside after that prayer and just say, God, forgive me for hurrying through my prayers and my gratefulness to get to the things that I want to have happen and just to say that I've done them, you know? I mean, really, that's what it is. And we began to pray again there once we had gotten in the car. And I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for letting me not have the food. They're praying and thanking God for the food. And I said, thank you for the impact that these guys have had on my life today. I got so caught up in working and doing things to help people. And we were giving praise to God for that and being able to use it, because half of the team that I was working with wasn't trained. We were just doing what we were shown. Did you know that I am now an official Haitian anesthesiologist? So if any of you need any anesthesia, go in. I can cut you a big break on your anesthesia bill. And give me three drugs and we can start pushing them. But I was scared to death. They say, have you ever been in the OR? I said, no. I've never been in for surgery and I've never been in to watch a surgery. And so they said, okay, well, good. We need you. I said, okay, I will come in as long as you understand that I know that you're American doctors. And when you speak, you want it then. In fact, you wanted it before you spoke it. So you're going to have to tell me what you want me to do. Well, that's good. So I get in there, and here's one scrub nurse and the ER doc. And they said, well, I think our anesthesiologist is asleep, and our other scrub nurse is not going to be here today. So we need you to be the anesthesiologist today. And I said, okay, what does that mean? You put people to sleep, right? Yes. And what if they don't wake back up? And he just burst out laughing. It's that OR doctor sense of humor. And says, okay, here is these three medications, propofol, ketamine, and Versed. And if you look at that person and it looks like they weigh 150 pounds, then you convert that pounds to kilograms and the kilograms to cc's, and then you give so many cc's depending on their weight. I said, yes, and I graduated in 1996, and my undergraduate degree is in music. And I don't have a calculator here. And that's what I'm telling this guy. And so he just kind of chuckles and laughs and doesn't say anything else. So I'm thinking, okay, he told me that I'd take this, the weight, convert it to kilograms, and then change it to cc. So I filled up all of my vials to 10 cc so I'd at least know where I began. And he said, well, push so many cc's of this and so many cc's of that. And then I'm having to keep up with it because there's nobody. We didn't have the person in the room that's supposed to be the scribe and writing down all this stuff. And so 3 minutes later, he says, now, how many cc's of this did you give? And so I caught on very quick that I needed to keep up with what he's telling me to do. But I was scared to death. I was having the time of my life. I loved it. But I was scared to death because the life of this person was literally in the push of a needle. And so we found ourselves in all these crazy circumstances. Yet when you had time just to step back at the end of the day and to examine and to debrief and to look at all these circumstances, it was overwhelming. And the guys had taught me, you just need to be grateful. Be grateful that God has used you today. It wasn't what I planned to do. It wasn't even in the area of really my talents. I enjoy it, but boy, did it ever stretch me beyond my capabilities and my training. But that was what they were saying. That is the reason to say the glory goes to God. You didn't do it. In fact, in your own abilities, you're not capable of doing it. I did it in and through you. All I've asked of you is to come to Haiti and to be willing to open up your life. Josh, you told me that you were going to do that. In fact, you wanted to be here. So make yourself available and allow me to fill you and use you for what I want to do and not what you want to do. And then point everybody to me. And that was the theme that I saw over and over and over on last week. We're going to move on to giving God the thanks, not only in the good times, but in the difficult times. When things are tough, it takes faith. Faith to thank God for the circumstances. You see, we must really believe that God has a plan that you and I don't see. We must really believe that God has wisdom beyond our own. And that giving thanks in the difficult time requires more. Listen, it requires more from me and you than a superficial faith. It requires a supernatural ability on God's part, and a faith that says, I know my God is able. And then to watch him do it in our lives and to see what he wants to produce. God wants us to give thanks in the difficult times because he wants us to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that what his word says? We can't always understand what happens in life. But if we depend on our senses, life is going to be a roller coaster ride. We can't depend on our feelings because our feelings are a roller coaster ride. But if we learn to depend on God, life will be steady. Life will be secure. We can know peace even when times are confusing and we say, God, what are you doing? Do you really know what's going on here? Do you know the struggles that we're trying to get these things to happen? God, we know that you want this to happen. Why is it not happening? Now, I know none of us have ever acted like that to God. But let's be honest. When tragic times hit, there doesn't seem much to be thankful for. Are we to give thanks for the heartache? Are we to give thanks for the devastation? Are we supposed to be glad that our world is caving in and falling apart? No. No, we're not. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to confess that these things are painful. God isn't asking you nor I to pretend about any of the things that are devastating our lives. He's only asking us to say that painful things are good. Why? Because he wants to confess that he is good. The circumstances of life are not always good, but God is good. God is good. God is faithful even when we or those around us are not faithful. God is faithful. We give thanks for a God who is working beyond the circumstances. If I focus on the circumstances and allow my feelings and my senses to rule and reign, I'm never going to get anywhere. Does a football player just love those grueling workouts? Do they? If they are, they're sick. If they do. No, it seems to me like it's cruel and unusual punishment. Those of you who do what you're supposed to do and get up in the mornings or in the evenings and you do your physical fitness stuff, is it necessarily always fun? Emily, I know it is for you, honey. But it's not always fun. But is it not good for us? Isn't it what God intended for us? When we see and we look at our pay stubs and we see all that money that we have asked to be separated out for retirement, that's not always a fun thing, is it? But is it a smart thing? Is it a good thing to plan for our future? Most of us would say yes, at least. Life is full of these situations. What good could God bring out of a tragic accident? What good can God bring from cancer? What possible work can God be doing that would make sense, would make a tragedy like the earthquake in Haiti make sense? Many times of those things I say, I don't know. And the fact of the matter is, God's not asking me to come up with the plan to make it make sense. He's saying, give me glory, give me praise, for I am God and God alone. And that I will work things out according to my perfect will. Do you trust me? We give thanks because we affirm, trust, and yes, we celebrate the character of God. We celebrate who he is. Not the circumstances. We give thanks because God is good. He is not evil. He is not arbitrary. God has a reason for everything that he does, whether you and I understand it or not. God is good. We give thanks that the world is not as chaotic as it often seems. It could be a lot worse, my friend. It could be a lot worse. David said, we should give thanks because the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Psalm 100, verse 5. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Max Lucado, who I love his writing because probably because it is so straightforward and simplistic. And this is what he has written. How wide is God's love? Wide enough for the whole world. Are you included in the world? Then you are included in God's love. It's nice to be included. You aren't always. Universities exclude you if you aren't smart enough. Businesses exclude you if you aren't qualified enough. And sadly, some churches exclude you if you aren't good enough. But though they may exclude you, Christ includes you. When asked to describe the width of his love, he stretched one hand to the right and the other to the left and had them nailed in that position so that you would know he died loving you. But isn't there a limit? Surely there has to be an end to this love. You'd think so, wouldn't you? But David, the adulterer, never found it. Paul, the murderer, never found it. Peter, the liar, never found it. When it came to life, they hit the bottom. But when it came to God's love, they never did. They, like you, found their names on God's list of love. David tells us that God's faithfulness extends to all generations. When others fail us, he does not. When others desert us, he stands with us. When we declare our anger, he continues to declare his love. God is consistent. He is good. He is loving. Even when we don't understand the circumstances of life, we should give thanks for the God whose character is without question. This character is what you and I must rely on. We give thanks for a sure hope beyond the grave. How do people survive who see this life as all that there is? The Bible tells us that when we die, we go to be with the Lord. We are given a home prepared by God's loving hands. We are given bodies that will never decay, malfunction, or embarrass us. We are reunited with loved ones who have died before us. And we will be with Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our friend. Heaven is described by taking the most precious things out of this life, gold, silver, precious stones, and making them the common things of heaven. It is a reminder that this life is nothing, absolutely nothing, in comparison to the splendor of the world to come. Heaven is depicted as a place of joy, of singing, celebration. It is a place where wrongs are made right, where good is rewarded. In the midst of many tragic times, death is lurking somewhere in the picture. The pain is either caused by a death of someone we know or by the threat of death. Knowing that there is life beyond the grave softens the heartache. Knowing that this life is not all there is a blessing we should thank God for. We give thanks for the Savior who made this hope possible. We should give thanks for God's plan to save us. We should give thanks for the baby in the manger, the teacher on the hillside, the Savior on the cross, the resurrected Lord, and the coming King. We give thanks for Jesus in every circumstance because he is our reason for hope. It is faith in him that has made us new. It is faith in his provision that brings us eternal life. We give thanks for a supernatural strength to get through devastation. We give thanks for a God who really does understand our pain. We are told that Jesus was acquainted with all our grief. He lived this life. He knew what it was like to be rejected. He knew what it was like to face temptation of every kind. He knew what it was like to lose people he loved. Most people believe that Jesus' father died while he was young. Jesus knew what it was like to be misunderstood. He knew what it was like to hurt. And that same Jesus knows us. There is no one who understands us like he does. We give thanks for the Spirit who prays for us with groans too deep for words. We give thanks for the God who sticks closer than a brother. He listens when we need to vent. He understands when words are absent. He gives strength when we have none of our own. He is the one who carries us when we have no other way. We have so much to be grateful for, to be thankful for. Regardless of the circumstances, whether good or bad, utter devastation or the most beautiful thing you've ever looked upon, God is good. And he loves you and he loves me. And that is the reason we celebrate him. My words to the people of Haiti and to you two guys here, and I've already communicated this by Facebook, I thank you for teaching me through the Holy Spirit to be grateful for the little things. And the big things, you just don't worry about anymore. I mean, after you have seen a 26-year-old Haitian lady. Her arm is gone. In fact, I'm the one who helped cut it off. And other parts of her body that will never be the same. And she wakes up and she says to my translator, "I'm still alive." He says, "Yes, you're alive and you're doing well." She looks, she sees that she has no arm. I'm sure she has to be in pain because we at that time had no painkillers. And she says this, "Thank you and thank my God. You'll never be the same." You saw the older lady in the video clip. That, for those of you who went to Haiti, that's Nicolaj's mother. Nicolaj lost her house and her mother lost her house. And they're living in the back of a van like David's. Those little, what are they called? Where's David? What's that thing called? The Volkswagen van thing? They put a piece of board in the back of it. And they would slide in feet first. The children on the bottom and the adults would slide up on the top shelf. And we tried to translate a prayer that she was saying on there, but Bildad wasn't here in time. And so, but she was saying remarks like this: If God allows it to all fall down, He's able to rebuild it. I said, unbelievable, unbelievable. God is good, and we have so many things to be grateful for. And my prayer is that as you leave this place today, you will begin to look at the small things the same way that you look at the big things that God has done. The good circumstances as well as the difficult ones. And you can say by faith, regardless of these circumstances that are awful and the tragedy and the pain that is in the midst of them, I give you praise. Let's pray. Father, that our prayer every day should be consuming. So I want you to meet these guys, and I want you to hear just a little bit from them. So you may have a seat. I know we're late, but we understand if you got to go. These two guys I met the very first time that we went to Haiti. And God has kept them in our lives. And I tell you, you get around them and their spirit and their enthusiasm and their charisma for the Lord will rub off on you. And I kind of like being under that well spout. It's good. It brings things back to perspective for us. And I know these guys were so excited to get to America. And but I hope too much of America doesn't rub off on them. Amen. To be honest with you. My prayer is that the time that God gives them here would be time where they influence people for the kingdom, even in their studies, and just if you get time, just talk to them and allow them to ooze onto you. So I want them to speak to you just a moment.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say, you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say that you're my God.
Somebody say hallelujah. So I want to say thanks to God and thanks to all my friends here and my friend Pastor Ashley. So he's my my dad in faith. I think you guys understand that. So he's like someone that I follow, you know. The first time I met Pastor Ashley in Haiti, so I think I didn't get married.
What's that?
I didn't marry
yet. You were not married yet, no.
So God brought him back to Haiti to save life. You know, there's a lot of you like me. I am a young guy, but I was bad. I think you guys understand bad. You know, I used to have many girlfriends, like 3 girlfriends when I was in, high school, you know. But God took me, like, through him. You know, God sent him in Haiti for a reason, you know. So I think whenever, you feel to go to Haiti, you have to go. You have to go. Don't say that, so I don't have money. Don't care about money. Don't care about money. But even though you're not working, don't care about money. God will provide. I love Pastor Josh a lot. So they are amazing. You know, I love you guys. So I don't have any word in my language to say thanks to you and thanks to God. One thing I want to ask you. I ask you, please don't stop praying for Haiti. Don't stop praying for Bill Dad's family. Don't stop praying for my family. Because I am young. You know, everything can happen. But God is good. One thing I know, God is good. There is a verse I love a lot in the Bible. I always say that to Pastor Ashley. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God first. And his righteousness, every time, everything will come as well. You understand that? And it says in Psalm 137, verse 7. I forgot it. Can you put it up there for me, please? So I would like you guys to see it, you know, because God is great. Like you guys, you are very, very blessed people. You are very, very blessed people. I think Pastor Josh and Pastor Ashley can tell you that. If you go to Haiti to see how people live in Haiti, wow, you will cry. Like you, you have nice house, you have possibility to eat, even though you're not working, but you have food to eat. In Haiti, there's people like, I used to have 3-4 days without eating. That's crazy. Thank you.
Hallelujah. So, I'm so happy to be here. And then, Brother Anthony, I don't want to cry. You know the reason I don't want to cry? It's because God is faithful. Okay? I know that's going to happen in Haiti. Anthony knows that. Anthony knows that. There is a prophesy. So only Pastor Ashley and Pastor Josh So many times when you come in Haiti, only you cannot rebuild Haiti. So that's supposed to happen. You know, many eyes see Haiti right now. Haiti will rebuild. So like Pastor just said, I don't care, my sister's still at the hospital. I know God will take care about that. God is faithful if I'm still alive, because God has a great plan for me. God has a plan for you. So that's one of the reasons when I said to Mom Kimberly, when I take God seriously, like 18 years, don't worry about my English. You know, I take God seriously. I said, God, I take you seriously. Now you are my dad, my sponsor, everything. God, protect me. You know, earthquake, hurricane in Haiti happened. I'm still alive. I'm still alive. I don't care about circumstance. Circumstance in my life is testimony. If you are a Christian, you're supposed to have testimony. We have testimony in Haiti. I know the reason I praise God. I know the reason I save him. Because God is good. God is good. So, you know, like Pastor just said, like my friends, Patrick, Michael, and then Claude, Ricardo, Sheila, we are all happy to save God. Because we know what God is. God can do great things. You know, I'm just crying. There's when I'm, sometimes when I praise God, when you see eyes, some water in my eyes, don't care about that. It's because I just say to God, thank you, because you are now I'm Savior and I praise you. I don't care about it, nothing. I know God can do everything. I don't care about circumstance. That's one of the reasons I love this song. Before I came here, I sang this song. Here I am to worship. Here I am to pardon, to save him, to praise him. God is good. So thank you. You know, only, as I said to you, only Pastor Josh and Pastor Ashley can help Haiti. Haiti needs you. Haiti needs your love. That's one of the reasons when Pastor Josh come in Haiti, I say, wow. Pastor Josh love Haiti. So, I love you too. So, when I'm here, I feel like I'm my home. So, God give you like my family. So, that's one of the reasons if you don't accept God yet, please come. God loves you. God has a great plan for you. I have my cousin Michael, Pastor Joe's friend. One day he said something to me. He said, you know, Bill Dad, sometimes we don't know our value in God, but God knows your value. Michael said that to me. So that one of the reasons, every time when I want to do bad things, I think about what he said to me. And I said, God, you have a great plan for me. I'm so happy to be here. Praise God. Amen.
These guys will be, they'll be eating with us in the missions meal. And because of the snow and stuff, I'm probably positive that there's more food than there's probably people that signed up that didn't come. So if you didn't sign up, please come and eat and interact with these guys. There's also going to be a meeting about our summer mission trip where we're going to be working here in White House during that meal. Is Kenny Walden here? Did he? Okay. There's a table where you can sign up for the men's conference. The community youth revival that's today has been canceled. Small groups and praise kid tonight, canceled. So just be safe. There's a place in the bulletin where you can sign up for the Valentine's banquet that's in a few weeks. Please sign up for that. And also, Praise Kids really needs your help. So please talk to Lisa. We had huge numbers last week, and we could use your help. I know we're over, but it sure has been worth it. So God bless you guys. You're dismissed.